find a podium and stand there and make a presentation. I have to be able to move a little. So how would you know if you had the kind of brain that needs to move to learn? What would be the first symptom when you sat down and tried to be still? No, you don't go to sleep first. Well, maybe you do. What's the first symptom? Exactly. You start to fidget. You get a little restless. And you can watch children, and they're sitting there, and, you know, their leg is going, or they're moving in some way because the brain, their brain has to move to learn. If you don't get up and move around, what's the second symptom? Your mind wanders, absolutely. If your body can't move, your mind can. So it will start thinking of where you were last year or where you're going to go for vacation. And so your mind is moving. And then if you don't get up and move, what happens? Then you fall asleep. And I really take that personally. So feel free to get up and move anytime you want to, seriously. Somebody said to me the other day, well, I don't want to bother you. Trust me, I'm not visual. I'm auditory. If you knock a pew over, I'll notice you. But other than that, I won't notice that. All right. This is turning out to be one of my very, very, very favorite topics. We're getting more male-female differences research, and I just love it. So I hope that you enjoy it as much as I do. First of all, how many cubes does your brain count? 6. As you are looking at it, does the figure change for you in any way? How many had it change for them? There you go. No, I've sometimes had to put my remote down because somebody will say, you changed the picture. No, I didn't. But your brain has got 4 chunks of tissue. The chunk behind your right eye wants variety. And it sort of gets bored quickly, meaning it'll look at this and it'll count 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Give it a few seconds, it'll say, okay, I already saw it. How else can I look at it? And it will literally, for many brains, change it. And then you'll probably see at least another 7. So there's 13. I don't know how many more there are. But it's just fun to know what the brain does when you haven't changed a thing. This is what I call the Who I Am pyramid. It's my attempt to show the 5 key types of brain function that I think everybody needs to know about their brain if you're going to be using your brain, as I call it, by design, on purpose. And the foundational level is whether you have a male brain, a female brain, or a 50-50 brain. And we'll talk a little bit about that. The second level up is whether you were born and raised in the eastern part of our planet or the western part of our planet. Because your brain templates differently based on where you are in the world. So you can go to my website and you can look up something called cultural neuroscience. And you can find some of the differences in the way the brains think, whether they were born and raised in the East or born and raised in the West. You need to know whether innately your brain is extroverted, ambiverted, or introverted. And you can go to my website. There's free assessments there. You can take one of those assessments and get some idea of where your brain is, because that makes a difference. makes a difference in what kind of environment you're comfortable. Then there's sensory preference, and I mentioned that I'm auditory. When I do the assessment, there's 21 questions, and I'm 20 auditory. I'm 11 kinesthetic, and only 7 visually. I know you're out there. I have eyes, but I don't do detail like someone who's visual does. My mother was an artist. I remember when I was little, she'd say to me, "Arlene, I need some okra color. Go out in the garage, over in the corner, third shelf up at the back, bring me some okra chalk." I'd go out there and I'd look. And I'd look. And I'd look. And 3 days later, she'd come out and say, "What are you doing out here? It's right there." I never, ever saw it. That's different from being able to visualize. Visualize means you picture in your mind what you've seen or something you've never seen. Any brain can do that. I visualize all the time. But that's different from a visual sensory preference. What I will notice is if something changes. So I walk into a friend of mine's house and I notice something different and I'll say, "Is that a new painting?" And she'll say, "Yes, I thought you weren't visual." I said, "I'm not, but that painting is different. You know, something has changed in the environment." And then we come to brain bent. Your 4 chunks of tissue. Research now suggests strongly that every human being has an energy advantage in one of these 4 chunks over the other. And depending which chunk you have the energy advantage for, that will make a difference in the type of activities that you gravitate toward and that you can do really, really well. If you align what you do well with your energy advantage, that's where you get the Olympics. You know, that's where you get the real high competency. And we can learn to do almost anything, but if it's not in your area of advantage, you can do it quite well, but it won't be much better than mediocre. But if you're doing something and it's in your area of advantage, the sky's the limit in terms of competence. Okay, so male-female differences, foundational, and yet we have known so little about the differences. The more you know and the more you apply, the more fun you have with the differences. Conflict is expensive. I'm sure you know that. It's expensive in homes. It's expensive in schools. It's expensive in churches. It's expensive in the workplace. This is an interesting study that was done in the United States. They did the first study in 1996, 10 years before this one, and they were analyzing how much time managers spent not on the business of the company, but on dealing with employee conflicts. And in 1996, managers spent 9% of their time, almost a tenth, dealing with employee conflicts. You know, this person doesn't like that person and don't like the way you did this. They repeated it in 2006. Now, managers were spending 18% of their time managing employee conflicts. Now, what organization wants to pay their managers nearly one-fifth of their salary dealing with employee conflicts? That's not what industry wants. So they found that there are 2 main contributors to conflict. The first one is low levels of emotional intelligence. Now, your IQ is inherited, your range, but emotional intelligence is a set of skills that you must develop on your own. And low emotional intelligence really contributes to conflict. Successful managers tend to have very high levels of emotional intelligence, Their IQs may be very average, but they have high levels of EQ. Because in the success quotient formula, it's IQ plus EQ equals SQ, your success quotient. IQ only contributes 20%. EQ contributes 80%. Work on your EQ, because it's worth 80% of your success in life. The less successful managers often had a really high IQ, but their EQ was very low. And in the United States, I think of stories about, for example, Jobs, Steve Jobs, who developed, was it the Apple computer? Okay. He was brilliant. IQ way outside the bell curve. But his EQ was abysmal, and he got fired from the company he created because he couldn't get along with anybody. So it's pretty impactful. And they often have what I call JOT behaviors. J stands for jumping to conclusions. O stands for overreacting. And T stands for taking things personally. I suppose none of you have ever done any of those things. Dump them. They're not going to help you be successful. And the second major reason for conflict is people don't understand about the male-female differences. You only know your own brain, and most people don't know that very well. But they do think that everybody ought to think the way they do. And of course, it's never, ever going to happen. So, before we got brain scans, there were lots of attempts at identifying male-female differences, and they were often psychological tests, behavioral testing. There were entire organizations in the United States that tried to test different skills to see how males and females differed. For example, males have 40% of their body mass in muscles. That's huge. 40%. A male who is my height has 3 times my upper body strength, 2x my lower body strength. You guys can open the door for me and carry my luggage anytime you want, because you've got so much more strength than I do. And I'm always amazed. I was in San Francisco not long ago, and it was blustery, and here was this big set of double doors at St. Francis Hotel, and this woman came up and was struggling to get the door open, and this gentleman ran up and said, "Here, let me open the door for you." And what do you think she said? "I can do it." I wanted to go up and say, "Of course you can do it, but why would you do it when he offered?" Duh. So I said to him, "I'd be delighted if you'd open the door for me." And he looked at me and blinked and smiled, and he said, "Well, you're a minority." Now that is really too bad. Really. So, when you do large sample studies, some females can outperform some males in some tasks, and vice versa. I don't know if any of you follow the Indianapolis 500, but there has been a woman on that circuit, the first woman who really ever got that far, because we'll talk about the fact that males have an advantage when it comes to any kind of muscle thing like that, but she's never won, and I would be amazed, as good as she is, if she ever won, because men are just better at doing that. Some women are better than some men, but overall, no, men have got an edge there. Now, male-female differences research is presented as conclusions in relation to the bell curve of distribution. And just so you know, that the research doesn't necessarily apply to 100% of the males on this planet, or 100% of the females on this planet. It applies to at least two-thirds. There's two red bars there, one on either side of the mean. And so the research really applies to those two standard deviations, meaning some at one end are going to more closely resemble the research, and some at another end are going to resemble it sort of, but not in every particular. So when we talk about male-female differences, it's important to realize that there will be exceptions. Sometimes there are more differences within a gender between males or between females than there are between the two genders. But it's still a good way to start looking at some of these differences. So enter a new type of brain imaging. It's called diffusion tensor imaging, or DTI. We've found an all lot of marvelous research since DTI has come out. So what does it show? It measures the flow of water along a nerve axon pathway. What does that mean? This is a drawing of a neuron, a thinking cell. You think of your hand as a neuron. The palm of your hand is the cell body. Your thumb represents the axon, that biggest projection that leaves the neuron, and that's how information leaves the cell. And then you've got lots of fingers. If you have an enriched brain, you can have 100,000 dendrites, 100,000 fingers on one cell, and these are the dendrites. So the axon in many parts of the brain needs to be wrapped with that insulation called myelin. Think fiber optics. And as this gets wrapped with fiber optics, it increases the speed at which information crosses those pathways. So that in the right hemisphere of the brain, because it's got more of these long axons that are wrapped with insulation, that's where you get 600 miles per hour. And I really need to convert that to kilometers, but I don't know what it is. Does anybody know what 600 miles is in kilometers? What? 970 kilometers an hour. Well, I think Zen would probably like to be driving that fast, but it isn't going to happen. So that's very, very fast, because you're talking about 3 inches here. So what this does, it measures where, what's connected with what in the brain. Where do the connections go? And they've got well over 100 now connection points, so they can see where goes what goes where in the brain. And no surprise, because researchers always want to compare, so they decided, okay, we know what a connectome is. We've done some of these studies. We can see the pathways in the brain. Now, how do male brains differ from female brains? And I'll tell you right now, they did not expect to see what they found. This is a side view of a male brain. Pay attention. Look at how the patterns, the connections, a lot of them go up and down, but they cover pretty much the whole hemisphere of the brain. The only place in the male brain where there are more left to right, right to left connectors, bridges between those two hemispheres, is in what's called the cerebellum. And that's linked with motor control. So on average, the average male will be able to do higher levels of motor control than can a female. So I compare this to Olympics. I love the Winter Olympics because I was born in Canada. Cold weather, you know, skiing, skating, all of that stuff, they will often have the same type of event. Let's say it's that giant hill where they ski down and ski straight off, and then they turn in the air 37 times and land on their skis. They have that for women, but they don't have as high a criteria for women. We don't have the muscle control first. You know, 40% of a male's body is muscle. You know, we're lucky if we get 26, 28. You know, we got more adipose tissue, which gives us a different look, but it's not muscle tissue. Plus, they've got more connectors between the two cerebellum, so they can see in their mind's eye what they want to do, and it's easier for them to actually do what they can see in their mind's eye. It's kind of fun to watch. There are some women who do really, really well at Winter Olympics, but they don't quite get up to what the average male can do. Now, what does this configuration enable a male to do? Well, they have stronger connection between brain areas for motor and spatial skills, which makes them actually more skillful drivers of vehicles. They do a better job at tasks that require eye-hand coordination. You know, females can do very well, but males can excel. They are better at understanding where objects are in space. So you watch a baseball game, and you've got these guys out in the outfield, and here comes the ball, and you'll watch them looking at that and moving around, and by George, they catch the ball. And women can play baseball, but they don't usually have that level of ability to picture where objects are in space. They do pretty well hammering nails. You watch a male, some of them can have two hammers, one in each hand, and they're just pounding away, and they never, ever miss the nail. And so I would watch my father nail, and he said, "Do you want to try?" And I'd say, "Sure." Okay, it took me about 5 times to even hit the nail. I hit the wood all around the nail. I learned to do a pretty good job, but my brother, when he handed him a hammer, he nailed it the first time. I really did not like that. So you can see now, this is, instead of a side view, this is looking down on a male brain connectome. And you can see, here's the more up and down pattern. And this is the, see these little red things? That's the only place where the male has more left to right connectors than a female brain. And that's significant in that objects in space, eye-hand coordination, many different sports. Researchers think this wiring style, spatial skills, muscle control, map reading, it's not so bad now that we have GPS, but my goodness, before we had GPS, women were lost all over the planet. And a male has this sense, just this sense of where to go. My dad could find things that he'd never been to before relatively quickly. And my mother, a week later, came home and never could find it because it's just different. Direction finding, yes, and vehicle driving, all right. Males have 14% more accidents per kilometer or mile driven. But that doesn't mean they aren't more skillful drivers. It's that they tend to push their luck a little. You know, they're good at what they do and they tend to push it. And if they have an emotional upset, they're not going to talk about it. They're going to go out and crash the car or something like that. All right, you got that picture in your head? Okay. So, there's a female brain looking at it from the side. And what do you notice that's different? Well, I've changed the color just so you can see the difference. There really isn't a color difference in the brain. But I did put a color difference so you can see the difference. Look at this. Instead of that pattern that goes up and down through the entire hemisphere, things are clustered around the two frontal lobes. And the two frontal lobes are where we have the executive functions, morality, conscience, willpower, those kinds of things. So there are tremendous connections between the two frontal lobes in the female brain. In fact, some studies, McGill University in Montreal, for example, they have found that sometimes, you know, there's several bridges that connect the two hemispheres. The corpus callosum is the largest. And in some brains, they found that those connections were 5 times larger in the female brain than the male brain. It's not good or bad, it's just different. And we'll talk about what makes a difference. And they do have some, this is where you have a lot of connections, and you've still got some in the cerebellum, but not nearly as many down there as are in the male brain. So what does this configuration do for a female brain that's different from a male brain? Well, they can quickly pull information from anywhere in the brain. The male brain is more like 2 somewhat independently operating brains. And we'll talk about that. In the female brain, there's so many connectors that if any part of the brain is on, it's all on. You know, there's no difference in the energy use. So it takes more energy to run the female brain. There's more gray matter in the hippocampus, which helps you recall memories. So men, if your wife or your daughter says, "You said this 7 years ago," you probably did. It got lodged somewhere in your brain, and your hippocampus found it. There's more left in the left caudate, which controls communication skills. There's more gray matter there. And so often females do more communicating verbally. Males can communicate, but you know, the latest research is males speak somewhere around 10 or 11,000 words a day, and usually most of them are at the office. You know, by the time they get home at night, they, as one of the researchers says, they've got a couple yeses, a couple noes, and a couple shrugs, and that's about it. That's all that's left. So if a woman's been at home all day with the kids and she's dying to use some conversation, she hits him with a barrage of words when he comes in the front door, and he's used all his up. So he's just kind of looking at her and not saying anything, which not too helpful. More wiring in regions linked with memory and social cognition, which is how other people are feeling. Now, women statistically are much better at reading body language. You know, males... I remember Dr. Dobson saying he and his wife had gone to a social, and they met a couple that they were acquainted with. And on the way home, the wife said, "Boy, did you watch their interaction?" He goes, "What interaction?" She said, "Did you watch them interacting with each other?" He goes, "I didn't notice anything abnormal." She says, "I give you money, they'll be divorced in a year." He said, "You're crazy." They were divorced 11 months later. So more skilled at picking up that nonverbal stuff. All right, now here's the female brain looking from the top down. We had no idea that we were this different. So here are all of these connectors between the two hemispheres. A few down here, but you know, they're mostly up here. So what does this help them do? Well, they have usually better verbal skills. Not that men aren't verbal and can't string a sentence together, but it's that women usually have better verbal skills. They have a different type of intuitive ability. Now, intuition is here in the right frontal lobe. Every brain that's normal has intuition. But because of this configuration that pulls things from the entire part of the brain all the time, women have what's called a sixth sense of intuitive knowing. So if you're discussing something with a male and you've got equal education and experience, pretty much, and she says, you know, I think this is a really bad idea, you might want to listen, because they have this extra intuitive ability. They are better at recalling words. They're better at remembering faces. Often you will see a male politician in some type of receiving line where people are going through and shaking their hands. And sometimes you'll see a woman standing behind, and you don't know this, but she's got a little tiny microphone and he's got something in his ear. And as people are coming through the line, she's saying, okay, this is General so-and-so. And he says, General so-and-so, how are you? And they think he's brilliant. Well, he's brilliant at listening. Social cognition tests. Now, both males and females can be have really high levels of EQ, but often it seems that women have a little more empathy. And we're not sure exactly why that is, but they're a little bit more empathetic. All right, now let's look at these side by side. What do you think? We had absolutely no idea we were this different. Now, you don't even see these differences until puberty. You do DTI tests on children below puberty, and they look pretty much the same, a mix of these two. Now you hit puberty, and what was set during pregnancy for brain wiring now starts to work. And it'll take 2 or 3 years to have the wiring changed for a male systemizing brain or a female empathizing brain. Now just think about that. You know, we're pretty hard on teenagers sometimes. But what if you lived in your house for 3 or 4 years and they were completely redoing the wiring from top to bottom? That's a lot of work in the brain, and so there's a lot going on, and we need to realize that their brains are not done yet. Okay, a couple of examples. Using tools is up here in the frontal left. And women can use tools, and they can do it pretty well, but they don't use them as skillfully often as a male who's in his left hemisphere, because you guys are usually in one or the other. And depending on which one you're in, it'll make a difference what jobs, what tasks you want to do. And if women don't understand this, it can be pretty hard on you. For example, he comes home from work and she says, "Hun, I just bought a painting at the flea market, and I want you to hang it in the living room." He says, "Okay, I'll do that when I'm done with this job." And she goes, "Why can't you do it now?" "Well," he said, "I'd like to finish this first, but I don't understand that. Why can't you leave that, hang the painting, and then go back to that?" Okay, what she doesn't realize is that takes a long time. Meaning, if he's in the right hemisphere and doing something creative, maybe he's putting a swing set together for the kids, and he's not even reading the instructions, which really irritates me. In order for him to get over here and use the kind of tools that need to be done with the measuring and all of that to get the painting hung, he has to turn all the lights off, the heating off, or the air conditioning. He's got to find this little bridge. Think of it as one lane wide. we got women at least 5 lanes wide. I mean, it is no problem to just go back and forth on the highway. So he has to find this little road, cross it. Now he's got to turn all the lights on in the left hemisphere and the air conditioning or the heater, and he's got to climb up here, and now he's ready to hang the painting. It's going to take him at least 7 seconds to do that. He doesn't know this consciously. He just knows he wants to finish this first and then go to the other side of the brain. More people have gotten divorced over just this. So I tell women, if it's a job you don't think you can do and you want him to do it, make a list. He'll know when he's in the side of the brain where he can do that job easily, and then he can check it off. Gentlemen, if she makes a list and you never do anything on it, you have just shot yourself in the foot. But that never happens in the female brain. So since one half is always idling while the other's working, it takes less energy to run the male brain. Now the female brain, there's this huge highway. So females will be working over here, and remember something they didn't finish over here? They just buzz over there. Oh, and then they remember they didn't do something here, and they'll buzz back. You know, as my son, the highway patrolman, said when I told him about this, oh, we knew that. Women spend a lot of time on the highway. In fact, a male can actually see farther than a female. So let's talk about driving for just a second. Females do not see as far. I mean, they weren't the hunters, not because they were handicapped. It's that they would scare the animals away before they could get close enough to shoot them, because we don't see that far. So a man's on the freeway in the fast lane going 75 miles an hour, and he sees up ahead his exit. Okay, he can get over 5 lanes and get off that exit. A woman will be driving, and she'll go, oh, there's my exit. Oops. I guess I'll get off at the next one and come around. Because they just don't even see that far. It's very interesting. But the flip side is, men don't see very well about 24 inches in front of their eyes. So I'm a school nurse back in the years when we used chalk. Teacher would say, I need a new, do you know what chalk is? Okay, some of you do. Teacher would say, I need a new box of chalk. Every little boy in the room is on his feet. He wants to be able to move because boys need to move more than girls. So he goes over and he opens the cupboard. Okay, standing there about 24 inches away, and he's looking for the chalk. And some little officious girl hops up and runs over and says, it's right here. Are you blind? Wrong difference. So we see the same thing with a refrigerator. If I could open our refrigerator door and it would stay open, my boys could have backed up, you know, give them about 8 or 9 feet. They'd have been in the kitchen sink by then, but, you know, 8 or 9 feet. They could find things in the fridge, but they open it, and it's the wrong distance for them. They can't find anything in their sock drawer. It's the wrong distance, and we don't understand that. So had one woman come to see me, and she said, I'm so sick and tired of my husband asking me where something is that I'm just about ready to boot his butt out. That's exactly what she said. I said, well, explain that to me. Well, she says, when he says, hon, I know he can't find something. So this morning he says, hon, have you seen my glasses? She says, I go through the routine. Are they on your head? No, they're not. Okay. Where did you leave them last? I don't know. I think on my desk. Well, she said, have you looked on your desk? He said, yes, but I can't find them. So she says, I go to the study, I look at the desk, and they're right there. I don't understand why he didn't see them. So I said to her, okay, This is what I want you to do. Have you got a pair of binoculars at home? Yeah, she said, I do. I said, okay, I want you to go home. I want you to get the pair of binoculars. I want you to put a set of glasses in the middle of the dining room table. I want you to put the binoculars to your eyes, and I want you to find those glasses. Oh, she said, I'll call you in a few minutes. I get a call the next day. She said, I've been practicing. She said, I can't really find them on the table. She said, I have them up to my eyes, and I look and see where the glasses are. Then I put them down again and try to find them. She says, it's really hard. I said, you think? He's got long-distance vision, relatively speaking, and he doesn't find them. If he backed up about 15 feet, maybe he'd see them. But it's a problem. What can I say? Okay, got this? All right. So we've basically mentioned this, that here's a drawing of, exaggerated, but a drawing of the fact that in the female brain there's so many highways compared to this one little road. And it gives the males some advantages. They can excel when they're in one side of the brain. They use less energy. But it gives females some advantages when they need to quickly move around the brain and they don't shut anything down. I mean, the lights are always on if anybody's home. And so it takes more energy for the female brain to run. Another thing is, because of this, think of the female brain as a trunk. When you open the average trunk, it's one big opening, one big chest. Everything dumps in there. When you think of a male brain, they've got this sophisticated set of drawers and cupboards and pigeonholes. They can put something in a drawer, slam it shut, and never think of it again their whole lives, which sometimes is not good for relationships. For example, well, first of all, let's do this. Because of the way they're configured, the male brain's configured, if they want to, they can simultask, meaning they can do two tasks simultaneously as long as each one is directed by a different hemisphere. Women can't do that. They can't even multitask. We look like we're multitasking, but we aren't. We're doing rapidly shifting, alternating shifts of attention. Women do not simultask. Male can simultask. And I don't really think that's all that fair. Especially when we also find out that males wrinkle 10 years later than we do. Now, that's not fair. Go figure. But it's the way it is. Okay, so let's say that we've got a couple. They're leaving for work in the morning, and they have an argument. And he says a few things that are rather naughty, certainly not affirming. I don't know, tells her as she leaves, well, why don't you take your horse face and go to work? Something like that. They both leave for work. He gets in the car. He puts that in a drawer and slams it shut, and he opens the work drawer. She can't do that. She dumps it in her trunk all day long. Every time she gets into her trunk, she bumps into that ugly comment. It grows like yeast. By the time she gets home at night, she is really, really ripped. Okay, he comes home from work, you know, he doesn't even think about what drawer he closed in the morning. He walks into the house and says, hi, hon, how are you? And she tells him, and it might have been a good idea if he'd remembered which drawer he closed that morning and opened it, and maybe he should have stopped for flowers. But, you know, a lot of room for conflict. All right. Just for interest's sake, 4 core emotions, joy, anger, fear, and sadness. I only talk about those 4 because those are the ones you can see on the face of the fetus with uterine scans during pregnancy, depending on what's happening to the mother. When you do PET scans, positron emission tomography, on adults, and ask them to remember a time when they were really, really joyful, it is the left side of the brain that lights up. And this is where language appears to be loaded, regardless of handedness. So you've got up here, you've got Broca's area, which is audible speech, which I'm using now. Down here, you've got heard speech, Wernicke's area. You've got written speech, those kind of things. So the female brain, if it's joyful, has got really good access to all of those, to others as well. But the 3 protective emotions, anger, fear, and sadness, the PET scan only lights up for those when you say to the person, think of a time when you were really angry, then think of a time when you were scared, think of a time when you were sad. And it's always the right side of the brain that lights up. So if a male is in this side of the brain and language is over here, then when he feels a strong protective emotion, he's not going to talk about it. He's going to act it out. So you'll see that in little boys at school. There's an altercation on the playground, and somebody gets hurt, and the teacher says, what happened? And the little girl starts talking immediately, and he doesn't say a word. And she says, talk to me. Tell me what happened. And he just shrugs. And according to research, it may take him 2 days to process that and move over into this side of the brain, so he decides to talk about it. It's not good or bad. It's very, very different. We talked about driving. Males, hands down, are more skillful drivers. They tend to see better in daylight, but they have way more accidents. 14% is significant because they're out there doing exhibition of speed and probably pushing it just a bit more than they should. Women, however, see better at night. We're not as skillful drivers. We're a little bit more tentative. We're a little bit more cautious. But that means we have less accidents. So, there's some of the connectome differences, and we had no idea. I think it's fun. I absolutely love it. Some people don't think it's so much fun. Well, here's the deal. They're not going to go away. The male brain is the male brain is the male brain, and the female is the female brain is the female brain. So the differences aren't going to go away. You have a choice. You can make your life easier or more difficult by how you recognize and respond to the differences. And I just think they're funny. I love them. You know, here's one example. Oh, I'll tell you that in the next time. Let's have a 10-minute break, and then we'll talk about the brain differences and stress. I would encourage you to get up and breathe deeply and move around, and we'll come back at 3 o'clock.